Effort was improved, but the result was the same. Grizzlies lose in San Antonio. We'll talk about that and more. You are Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome in Locked On Grizzlies. My name is Peter Edmiston. Thanks so much for joining me on this Friday. And right out of the gate, I want to say a couple things. One is a big thank you to our friends at SeatGeek who are helping us with this show. And we'll tell you more about them coming up in just a bit. Also, want to say a big thank you to all of you guys for sticking with me and helping out when I couldn't do the pod yesterday. Just one of those things, very rarely stuff comes up that kind of gets in the way a little bit, and that happened. So apologies all around. It's not something that will be especially common, but every now and then it might happen. So appreciate you guys having patience with me and sticking with me. And unfortunately, I wish I had a better result to tell you about, but I don't, as the Grizzlies fall to the Spurs 97-90. Kind of a predictable game in many respects. A few issues to resolve. We'll talk about them coming up here on the show. So the basics of this one, 97-90, the Spurs win it. Stop me if you heard this before. The Grizzlies play pretty well defensively, at least for the most part. There were some stretches, especially in the first half, where the Grizzlies really struggled to defend the interior. But you know, they went for long stretches in the second half of really defending well. Even, I mean, no matter what the Spurs really threw at them, they had an answer for it and had the game tied relatively late. And then the Spurs, you know, cranked out a huge late run that really killed the game off. And you know, I mean, this is how it works for the Grizzlies. This is how it worked in New Orleans when they went on that 21-0 run. The Spurs went on a similar double-digit run. 10-0, 12-2, I think is what it ended up being in that fourth quarter. It's the Grizzlies getting stagnant offensively that really leads to these kinds of situations. And it puts so much pressure on the defensive side of the ball where they just have to get stop after stop after stop. It's just not going to happen, you know, particularly against, you know, really good teams like the Spurs. Or in the case of the Pelicans on Monday, teams that have a guy who's getting it going and just killing you. You can't win like that. That's another check mark in the column for David Fizdale to say, you know, this team needs a more modern offense. This team needs more opportunity to be diverse in offense. This team needs a lot more of those kinds of things. There's only so much that you can get out of being a great defensive team and scrapping and all that. It just is not going to happen for you on a regular basis if you're going to continue to focus on that stuff. You know, in the reaction to it, I think you always have to appreciate the effort level. You always have to appreciate the closeness of the game, the difficulty of going into San Antonio and winning. You know, all that stuff weighs into it. It's not as if the Grizzlies were expected to win this game. So, you know, no big deal there. And I think you could take something of a moral victory from this whole thing if it wasn't so obvious that the fourth quarter offensive struggles are going to be a major issue for the Grizzlies, you know, from here on out and certainly in the postseason. So that puts a little bit of a damper on things because that's been a consistent problem that has to be resolved. Now, how do you resolve that sort of thing? How do you fix that problem? Well, I'll tell you what. One of the things that you have to do, and in this team is going to have to figure out how to get the best out of or how to renew Marc Gasol offensively. You know, defensively is a different discussion, and that would probably be helpful to renew him there too, but you know, Mark to me is playing like a guy, and I'm going to give all the leadership stuff and all the fit stuff a break. We're just going to talk basketball here. On court, Mark is playing like a guy who, understandably, is tired. He's playing like a guy who is fatigued. He's playing like a guy who has come back from major surgery and a foot thing and all this and is, you know, doing his best, but has given an awful lot this year and is starting to really slow down. And here's what you need to know. Well, I'll tell you actually right after I tell you a little bit more about SeatGeek. Great folks at SeatGeek. This is the time. Now, you know, a lot of people probably in this listening audience are trying to get tickets or have been, you know, really scouring, wanting to go to the tournament games that are at FedEx Forum this evening. Very, very tough ticket. Very difficult. But SeatGeek, use SeatGeek and you can see how it really will help you get that ticket, and you'll know that you're getting the best price you could possibly get. That's a tough ticket, so it's going to be expensive. But you know, SeatGeek will make sure that you have the best seat that you can get for the best price. They use proprietary technology that scours all of those deal sites, all of those ticket sites, so that you know that the ticket, they kind of aggregates all of it in, comes up with the proper pricing. The algorithm will show that, and then when you use it, you'll see a big green circle on that seat, and you'll have a seating chart and the whole thing right in front of you. It's really easy to see. You'll see that big green circle, and you'll say, okay, I know that that price is better than market value. That's a good price. I know that. So you feel it makes sense, and you feel really good about making that purchase. Same is true that you could see yellows and reds. And reds, you know, are prices that are over what they consider to be market value for that price. Now, it may be that you need to do that, but you at least you know going in what you're going to pay. And SeatGeek makes it easy for you to support the pod and save some money too. SeatGeek. Go and download the app, no matter what you're using, Android, iPhone, whatever. It's there. Search for SeatGeek. Download the app. Go to the settings tab. Type in and under the opportunity for the promo code, type in LO Grizzlies. That's LO Grizzlies. You will help out the pod. Thank you. But more importantly, you'll help yourself out because you'll save $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Make that purchase and SeatGeek will send you $20 back. It's that simple. It saves you money, saves you time, saves you everything else. Again, LO Grizzlies is the promo code. Use that when you download the SeatGeek app. It makes ticket buying so easy, whether you're looking for them tonight for a sporting event or for a show, whatever. SeatGeek is the answer. And again, use promo code LO Grizzlies, SeatGeek.com, or the SeatGeek app, and then promo code LO Grizzlies. Marc Gasol's shooting percentages month to month are on the decline and have been since the beginning of the year. Marc Gasol, field goal percentage, he started off the season shooting 45% in November and go back to October as well. Same thing in December, 45%. 52% in January, which was a killer month for Mark. Then down to 46% in February and now 41% here in March. Three-point shooting, 41%, 41%, 40% in January, 34% in February, 29% in March. And even free throw shooting, 78%, 84%, 85%, 92% in February, 70% in the month of March. And we are almost done with the month of March, as you know, if you've consulted a calendar anytime soon. Which means this is all trending in the wrong direction. All this stuff is trending in the wrong direction. Same thing is true to an extent. And if you look at the fourth quarter, this is another example of it. Yeah, in this fourth quarter, where was Marc Gasol? Yeah, he had two shots pretty late on, but that was pretty much it. I mean, he didn't offensively. Didn't get it really going to any major level at all in this game, but especially down the stretch like that. And it turns out, as I dug around a little bit and did a little research, that this is kind of where Mark has been this year. If you look at usage, the percentage of plays that a player uses when he is on the court, if you look at that number, just it's kind of a good shorthand to tell you how much of the offense runs through a particular player, you will find that overall, the Grizzlies, understandably so, have a huge chunk of their offense that runs through Marc Gasol and Mike Conley. Makes perfect sense, right? I would do that too. I think we all would. But overall, Grizzlies usage this year, Mike Conley at 26.7%, Marc Gasol 25.9%. So pretty similar. But Gasol's numbers for the first time, I went back, you know, quite a few years, and his numbers typically stay around the same. His usage level overall is up this year from years past, but typically it stays the same in the fourth quarter if you were to just isolate the fourth quarter versus his entire game. But this year that is different. Conley goes up in the fourth quarter. He uses 30.7% of Grizzly plays, almost 31% of Grizzly plays. That number puts him 16th in fourth quarter usage in the NBA. 16th, and this is among players who have played at least half of their team's games. So, you know, you can isolate. If you lop off the guys that have, you know, played 5-10 games, something like that, and have some wonky numbers, then you get the real deal, the people that are consistently playing for their team and consistently playing big roles in the fourth quarter. What's hilarious, by the way, on this, so Conley's at 30.7%. I'll get to that in a second, actually. I don't want to miss my point here. Marc Gasol's 23%, so his number goes down by about 10%, give or take. That puts him 50th in the NBA. So Conley's 16th and Gasol's 50th. Now, some of this, it is easier in general for guards to have higher usage rates, especially down the stretch, because a lot of the possessions end up being, you know, dribble out the clock, dribble drive, that kind of stuff, and they don't lend themselves to dishing it down to bigs. Now, that's not always true because DeMarcus Cousins is number two in this stat. He uses 42% of his team's plays, and this includes both the Pelicans and the Kings. He uses 42% of his team's plays in the fourth quarter. I mean, you saw that the other night. He's big. But for the most part, it's all guards or wings who can handle the ball. You know, superstars. Basically it's superstars or wannabe superstars. The funny thing is Russell Westbrook is his usage. He uses 51.4% of Thunder plays in the fourth quarter, which is like it's unbelievable. It's you would think it would be unsustainable, but that's been the mark all year long. It's crazy. But Conley uses more, you know, for example, than a lot of big time guys out there. You know, Kyle Lowry, for example. Kevin Durant is another example. You know, those types of guys that you see and you know are big time players. Mike Conley uses it more than they do. And so that tells you that the Grizzlies are running a lot through Conley, but it also tells you the Grizzlies aren't running as much through Mark. And, you know, we've discussed this at length. Mark is a devastating offensive player when he wants to be. He is, with the addition of the three-point shot, you know, he can go pretty much anywhere on the court and do his thing. And then, you know, typically he is an 85 to 90% free throw shooter. But he's shooting 70% this month. And he's not, I should point out also that in the fourth quarters, and really overall, Mark is no longer getting to the foul line at the rate that he was earlier in the year too, which is why he's averaging under 16 points a game this month, you know, far less than the 20 plus that he's averaging for the year. these are the problems that were highlighted by what we saw in San Antonio, and this is all on the offensive end. But that's to me job number one for David Fizdale and the rest of his staff is, you know, how do you get the best out of Marc Gasol? How do you return him to the form that he had? Do you rest him more? I mean, that would make some sense. But they're fighting for seed, and that is not going to go over well with Mark. Mark wouldn't do that, so you can scratch that off the board. But if you consider that it's fatigue, then there's really only one way to stop that. There's only one way to get down to the bottom of it, and that's to let the guy rest. And if you don't think it's fatigue, then you have to figure out what exactly it is that's keeping him from turning it to the next level offensively in these kinds of situations. But and really overall, you know, over the past month, there's something that is holding him back. Could be physical. Maybe he's just not feeling, you know, quite as well. Maybe, you know, could be mental. You know, it's a lot of exhaustion. There's a lot of difficulty. You know, his wife just had their second child. You know, that's part of it. So, you know, maybe there is a mental component of distraction. That's entirely possible. I don't know, but you know, it's long enough, and it's over the course of the entire season. So it's a meaningful thing. Not saying that, like, you know, it's not like his usage rate is like zero. I mean, like, he's still very much a part of things, but he couldn't help but be. I just would love to see, you know, him take it and push the limit a little bit of what he can do. I didn't mention Mark also had 6 turnovers. I didn't want to. Not trying to bash the guy. Really not, because Mark's still probably, you know, certainly the most gifted offensive player that the Grizzlies have. Mike Conley's a close second, but Mark can do so much, and we've seen it this year, that for him not to do it now, it's starting to be conspicuous in its absence. Now, elsewhere on the team, I thought Mike Conley had a better game than he had on Monday, scoring 22 and, you know, keeping the Grizzlies in it. But again, he could not hit from deep. He was rough night against the Pelicans, 1 of 8 against the Spurs. And the Grizzlies were okay as a team, 10 of 29 from three. You'll take that. That's okay. But, you know, they couldn't find that consistent offensive element. And that goes back to what we were talking about. You know, you have all the discussion and the formulation of defenses, and here's what we're going to do. And it will only take you so far now in the NBA. The league has changed, and you got to change with it, or you're going to get run over. It's going to be too late for the Grizzlies this time around, but for next year, that's something they have to take even more strongly into consideration. Got to give props to Jamichael Green, perfect from the field. Shame he only took 3 shots, but 3 of 3, including 1 of 1 from 3 for his 7 points and 6 rebounds. And really big props to Andrew Harrison, I have to say. He had one big turnover relatively late in the game, but apart from that, you know, he's shooting the ball better. 3 of 7 tonight, 1 of 2 from behind the arc. He's shooting the ball a good bit better. Over the last month or so, he's shooting 36% from 3, which may not sound like a whole lot, but considering where he was, that's a tremendous improvement. And in fact, over the last 10 games, Andrew Harrison is the Grizzly player that has the best net rating. So offensive rating minus defensive rating. Harrison has the best net rating of anybody on the team over that 10-game stretch. There is something there, certainly from David Fizdale's perspective. He really likes Andrew Harrison and really trusts him more than I would say any of us would. But the numbers are bearing it out in good times and in bad that he is, in general, a force for good in spurts. Now, again, let's make that clear. That is not by any stretch of the imagination an advocation to increase his role. Not at all. So please don't get that twisted. What I am saying is that he's doing a pretty decent job. And considering that he's now hitting some threes and his offense is becoming merely not great instead of putrid, that's a big distinction. It's a big difference. Defense is still very solid from him. So kind of a story of commitment. The guy fought off challenge from Tony Douglas. He kept fighting. Guy's got a lot of self-confidence. All that stuff matters. All that stuff matters. So kudos to him. I thought Vince Carter was better in this ball game. Still not great, but better. And he hit three threes, which was huge because somebody's got to do it for this team. Zach Randolph, not so great. Off the bench again, another rough night for Zach. Shot it marginally better, 2 of 7 instead of 2 of 11 from the field. 8.7 boards, 2 assists for Zach in the ball game. Excuse me. And I thought, still though, just not quite comfortable, not quite himself, and. The Grizzlies needed a little more from their guys. They got a little bit more from their big three in terms of scoring, a combined 43 points. But again, that's not enough. They need even more these days. They need even more from those guys. So in that sense, it was a frustrating loss for the Grizzlies because that was a winnable game. But, You're happy that you were in a winnable game. You're happy that you had an opportunity to win in San Antonio. Couldn't quite execute, but you had that chance, which is more than many teams will say. Although the Spurs have not been an unbelievable home team this year, but it's always a tough place to go and play, even if they haven't necessarily been at their best at home this season. I think they're starting to improve that, as the season wraps up and we head into the playoffs. I know this, I want to avoid that matchup. In spite of the Grizzlies being 2-1 against the Spurs this year, I think you saw glimpses of what the postseason will be like and just execution. Kawhi, though he was merely okay on the offensive end, 7 of 15, 19 points, you saw down the stretch that he is really good. He's one of the biggest usage guys in the fourth quarter. We were talking about that earlier in the podcast. And you could see what he can do. He was really good in key moments. And even when he wasn't good, in the case where he took a bad three, he went down and made up for it with an unbelievable defensive play that was shades of Michael Jordan against the Pistons when he saved it going out of bounds. Beautiful pass to LaMarcus Aldridge that then set up a fast break where the ball never really touched the ground. Didn't no dribbles, just bing, bing, bing right down the court with passing. And that was one towards the end of the game that really helped to seal it. For the Spurs, you know what you're going to get with him. A really good offensive player, a transcendent defensive player. And as the postseason rolls around, he's really tough. There's a reason why the Grizzlies, since 2011, are 22-2 when Kawhi plays. The Spurs are 22-2 when Kawhi plays against the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies are, of course, 2-22. Quite a bit different in that regard. So, yeah, it was typical Spurs. And there were other reasons to be a little upset, too. Another opportunity, again, in the standings to cut into the lead from Oklahoma City, get yourself back closer to the sixth spot. Instead, the Grizzlies now a game and a half behind the Thunder for that sixth spot And again, you know, looking more and more like the fact they're going to play the Spurs. Spurs look pretty nailed on for that second seed. Could potentially jump up over the Warriors, but more often than not, or more likely than not, I would say that's not going to happen. And so Spurs Grizzlies starting to look more and more like a eventuality when this whole thing is said and done. That was, you know, one of the disappointing things about this loss in particular, is that there was still that opportunity to kind of crawl your way and climb up. I mean, the Clippers tried their best to help you out. They blew a game against Dallas, and you know that's they're trying. They're trying. They have not been consistent over the last few weeks. They are opening the door, or trying to an extent, but I don't know that Memphis or Oklahoma City are going to be able to actually walk through and take full advantage of what they're seeing. So that's the disappointment from a standings kind of standpoint. And then overall, still some of the same issues plaguing the Grizzlies. So you'd like to see some progress being made. You know you're going to play the Warriors on Sunday, and that's a game that, you know, well, the Grizzlies had remarkable comeback earlier in the season. Incredible comeback. Amazing comeback. Like, can't even believe the comeback. 24 points. What a fourth quarter. The whole thing. You can't count on that happening. And the Warriors aren't playing that well of late, by the way. Not, even though they've won five straight, and it seems weird to say, they just don't look the same. They don't look quite right without Kevin Durant. So there is that opportunity to go in there and do your thing, but it's just going to be hard. It's just going to be hard. And you want to be playing better basketball. You want to be playing better basketball. Not necessarily that you would have won against the Spurs or that you'd won, you know, winning against the Warriors or whatever, but you just want to play better basketball. And right now, that's eluding the Grizzlies, in particular, the big three. Mike Zebo struggling. Struggling, and that's probably going to be very tough for the Grizzlies to get much done when that's the case. Let's see if they can flip the switch over the weekend in the very, very tough place to do any kind of switch flipping at all. And that would be Golden State. And then you finish up with Sacramento to close out this four-game road trip that the Grizzlies have started 0-2.
Thanks so much for joining me here on Locked On Grizzlies. As always, you can check me out 7 to 10, Wolo and Peter in the morning, Real Sports Talk, Sports 56877 FM. Check out Numbers Game in the commercial appeal. And you can check us out on Facebook as well. Search for Locked On Grizzlies or go to facebook.com/LockedOnGrizzlies. For those of you, of course, that are big fans of the podcast, let me tell you something. This is a great spot for your company. If you want to reach men between the ages of 18 and 54, this is the place for your audiences. And here's something to consider. Recent surveys have shown that podcast listeners are 65% more willing to think seriously about purchasing products they learned about from podcasts. 60%, given equal price and quality, prefer to purchase from companies that advertise on their favorite podcasts. Our rates are very reasonable. Please shoot me an email, peter@peteredmiston.com. Shoot me a tweet @peteredmiston or a direct message, something like that. We can get all the information out to you. I'd love to have you on the podcast, become part of our family, and reach all those great folks out there that are listening. Thank you so much. You have been Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily podcast on the Memphis Grizzlies, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.